This Sunday that we celebrate is called Palm Sunday, but it also has another name, Passion Sunday. Passion. When we think of that word, we think of certain things, but if we know our Latin, we go back and we know that passus, to suffer, that's the root of the word passion. So this Passion Sunday, we just heard the narrative of the Lord's passion, his suffering. But friends, that also is so connected to his love. And what can you say about the passion narrative that we just heard? It speaks for itself. It stands on its own. Any words of mine are so woefully inadequate. So what we do at the beginning of this Holy Week is we seek for the grace to enter into the story, to find our place in the story of our salvation. Not as spectators, but as active participants. So turning away from the gospel and the narrative that we heard, and examining the second reading today from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, four phrases within which four verbs jumped out to me. To grasp, to empty, to humble, to exalt. St. Paul talks about Jesus. He said he didn't deem equality with God something to be grasped. Something to be grasped. That's the move, going all the way back to the beginning, where everything goes wrong. Adam and Eve, they grasp, they take, they seize. And so has everybody since then, except our Lord and our Lady, including me and including you. We grasp, we take, we seize. And that is the source of all of our anguish. For every sin is a grasping, a taking, a seizing. And as St. Paul says in Romans, the wages of sin, the direct result of that grasping, that seizing, that taking, is death. The wages of sin is death. And we all do it. We need to square solidly to that reality. And this Holy Week confronts us with the reality of our own sin. Not just the world's sin, because that's nice and safe. That's a nice abstraction. But it's real and it's personal. Our sins, my sins, your sins, real and personal. Not private, not contained, not compartmentalized to one little area of our life, but bleeding out into every area of our life, and each one of us bleeding out into this society in which we live, the dysfunction of the world. We grasp out of pride because we would rather not serve God. Milton, in his great epic poem, Paradise Lost, puts a line in Satan's mouth that each one of us has proclaimed through our actions. And Satan says, it's better to reign in hell than to serve in heaven. And that's us. So we grasp out of pride. We grasp out of rebellion. We grasp out of selfishness. My way, my desires, all the time. We grasp out of convenience because it's easier this way than to follow the Lord and to take up our cross. We grasp out of fear because we don't think God is going to provide, that he's not faithful, that he won't be there when the chips are down. And so we had better provide for ourselves. And all of that, friends, is on display in the gospel. But if we take just a moment, it's on display in our hearts too, isn't it? And yet, that's precisely what Jesus came to address. He came to address it. And not just by nice teaching and well-thought-out, well-proposed lectures or rhetoric, but he came to address it in his very person, in the incarnation, in the way in which he lived and moved among us, in the way in which he still lives and moves among us. And so his response to the grasping is a counter move. He emptied himself, St. Paul says, taking the form of a slave. He emptied himself. What's on display this week is the God who pours himself out in service to you and to me. The one who should be served at all moments by all creatures. He freely comes as a slave. He bends the knee. He serves us. He acts as the slave, even though he is the King of Kings. He pours himself out. The last drop of his blood emptied on the cross. He gives everything. You see, this isn't a God of half measures. He loves us. He gives us everything. St. John says, having loved those who were his own in the world, he loved them to the end. He loved them to the end. Ad finis in Latin, to the limit, to the extreme. He loves us to the end, to the extreme. And that looks like something. It looks like this. It looks like this. And I hope that this week you take time to pray and walk with the Lord on the journey of his passion. I hope you take time to contemplate the love that he has for you. I hope you take time to sit beneath this crucifix, to pray here, to see in all its starkness the love that Jesus has for you, that he goes into the depths, into the darkness, into the absolute abyss of our sinfulness, of your sinfulness, of my sinfulness, that he goes there, and he goes willingly because he loves us to the extreme, to the extreme. St. Paul says he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That humility becomes the pattern for our lives, the way in which we need to live and to move and to have our being. It undoes all the sadness of sin, all the grasping, all the attempts to satisfy ourselves, all the attempts to make life about us. See, Jesus opens a way, and it is the way of the cross, the royal road of the cross upon which our King walked. And he invites us in our dignity, not just as sons and daughters in the one who is the Son, but as kings and queens in the one who is the King of all the universe. And he says, walk with me, follow me. And it looks like that road and no other. Is that scary? Yes. The Lord was scared in the garden. Is it an easy path? Absolutely not. And no one has ever promised that who has ever preached the gospel in any amount of its truth. But it is the best path. And it is the only path. It's the only path that leads to real life. We know it because we know how this story ends. Because Jesus did not deem equality with God something to be grasped, because he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, because he humbled himself, becoming obedient even to death on a cross, St. Paul completes the picture for us. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the Savior we have, my friends. And his love is on full display this Holy Week. You and I are not called to be passive observers of an event locked in the past, but rather, we are drawn into being active participants in an event that is as real and relevant now, today, as it was the first time it happened, that first Holy Week in Jerusalem. Jesus, he seeks you. He wants you to know that love. Saint Andrew of Crete writes this: his love for us will never rest until he has raised our earthbound nature from glory to glory and made it one with his own in heaven. Jesus seeks you this Holy Week. His love beckoning to your heart. His wounds healing your wounds. And in his love, you will find peace. In his love, you will find peace. What a Lord. What a King. What a Savior. At his name, may every knee here bend and every tongue confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.